My presentation this morning really is a summary of an ongoing project called FLIP, the Public Health Lab Interoperability Project. It's a very collaborative process between CDC and the states, of which APHL is a really big partner. We also work with NICFI. The goal of this project is really to try and achieve bidirectional electronic exchange of data. Over the next 20 minutes, I'm going to touch on a couple things. I'm going to try and define what we mean by interoperability, explain the laboratory problem that FLIP is seeking to address, look at what's involved in moving and transitioning to electronic exchange of laboratory data, sort of a self-check that an organization should go through as it thinks about electronic lab exchange, and some of the resources that APHL primarily have brought together to make available to any public health lab who is considering that transition. And I will conclude with a brief summary of this presentation. What I would like for you to take away is the ability to identify those elements for LIMS interoperability, the standards that are associated with LIMS interoperability, and sort of understand the underlying architecture that supports that bidirectional exchange of information, and know some of the challenges that FLIP has experienced and the benefits as well of electronic lab messaging. Virtually all successes in electronic data transmission depends on interoperability, and I will define that in a minute. For me, I think it helps if you consider that what we are trying to achieve is a sort of a dialogue between two persons who don't actually speak the same language, and there's something in the middle that facilitates that exchange. The most important components for interoperability tend to be the vocabulary or the words that form that exchange, the sentence structure, and the messaging protocols that facilitate the delivery of that message. I look at two types of interoperability that's important to achieving this bidirectional exchange of lab information, synthetic and semantic interoperability. This is a standard definition you probably have seen and heard several times over for interoperability. I just want to draw your attention to two main points, the exchange of information and the use of that information that has been exchanged. I think perhaps missing from this definition is the purpose and meaning of that data that has been exchanged must be preserved and remain unaltered in the process. What is synthetic interoperability? This is not so much a definition as it is an explanation of what it is. And in the lab arena, in the lab domain, we often think of a placer, which is the submitter of the submitting lab, and the filler, the receiving lab, exchanging a message, which must be structured. In that the order in which the result, the order and result pair terms appear in the message is strictly defined. So in a sort of Yoda-like disorder sentence, plain the stand Jim can, is something that perhaps a human being can understand, but a machine cannot. This is the reason why synthetic interoperability is very important. And we use XML to achieve that synthetic interoperability. So if two or more systems are exchanging data, they are in fact exhibiting synthetic interoperability. And although it is important and necessary for lab bidirectional exchange of data, it's not sufficient. We must also consider semantic interoperability, which is the ability to automatically interpret an information exchange. The problem of semantic interoperability for the lab are twofold. One, different terms are used often to describe very similar concepts, such as sample, aliquot, specimen. They sort of use interchangeably in the lab domain. The second issue is that oftentimes identical terms are used to mean very different things. And an example of that is the use of the word test. In the lab, a test can be a verb, meaning to analyze, or it can be a noun, meaning the name of the procedure that is actually going to do the analysis on. And this introduces some amount of confusion. So for semantic interoperability, it's important that the information exchange is very unambiguously defined. What is sent is exactly what is understood. And HL7 is a standard for achieving semantic interoperability of health-related messages. So achieving LIMS interoperability, we must adhere to recognized standards. We have many vendors who have different LIMS products, and some may adopt HL7 and some may not. Is this use of legacy standards by different LIMS vendors does pose a very significant challenge to achieving this bidirectional flow of lab information. So the goal that FLIP is seeking to address is to implement a process by which lab tests and results can be transmitted from a LIMS in one location to a LIMS in another location, thereby supporting the capability for electronic test order and result messaging. This is of extreme public health significance. It addresses efficiency, improves data quality, certainly makes for better surge awareness and response, and helps with emergency preparedness and effectiveness. It's not uncommon to underestimate the level of effort involved in making that transition to electronic lab data exchange. And to understand that that transition does not only involve technology, but it does, however, requires meticulous attention to detail. In making that transition, one would want to look at requirements gathering. And we will look at first workflow. And although this is not a technology issue, it is nevertheless a very important part of making that transition to LIMS interoperability, as each lab would have a different strategy for achieving its overall goals and objectives of the organization. You want to first look at what is the current state that the lab exists in to enable the identification of system use data and the business rules that apply to allow for a complete workflow for specimen and information flow. Use cases depict the tasks that are typically carried out by lab personnel during the accessioning, sharing across labs, and reporting of results. We also want to think of the future state. What would the workflow look like for specimen and information movement, and also gather requirements associated with that. We also have to look at the requirements for the particular lab information system under consideration. We want to look at what's required for exchanging of test order and results, do a complete end-to-end integration testing before we actually move into the deployment and production environment. The architecture that supports the underlying architecture that supports this bidirectional exchange of lab information is still very much under construction. And today I want to talk about, just touch briefly on three different types: the peer-to-peer hub and spoke and the enterprise service bus. Here on the left is the depiction of the model for peer-to-peer exchange. And we understand within the LIMS bidirectional exchange environment, then the necessity to have a number of systems that probably currently operate independently needing to be interfaced. You see at the bottom of the screen a formula that tries to encapsulate what a peer-to-peer exchange model would entail. The significance of this model is that the number of edges or interfaces grows with the square of the nodes or sites added to the structure. This combinational explosion of number of interfaces adds significant processing overhead and can be avoided by replacing the web with the diagram on the right, which depicts a federated hub and spoke model. In such a topology, the number of interfaces is equal to the number of nodes, which means that the interfaces grows linearly as the number of nodes are added. The advantage of the federated architecture of hub and spoke allows for better scalability than the peer-to-peer exchange. In the enterprise service bus, presents a single interface where multiple LIMS applications can be connected, as opposed to the previous two I spoke about where you have multiple interfaces. The bus also provides several services that allow for secure and reliable exchange and delivery of messages. And these include the FinMS, which is the message transport layer, the database broker, which facilitates the validating, parsing, and routing of messages to its destination LIMS. You have Fin DIR, which is a directory that permits data users and resources on the network to find each other. And we have vocabulary access and distribution occurring through FinVADs. Compared with the hub and spoke, the bus scales much better and potentially offers better performance. There are two main issues related to vocabulary for lab interoperability. One is the lack of comprehensive standard codes, may not always provide all that you need it to. And then the second is the use of local extensions. And what I mean by local extension is that sometimes each facility may have its own alphanumeric code, which may be very vendor specific. And FLIP is trying very hard to coordinate all these efforts and to harmonize the process. The vocabulary standards that are important to achieving this bidirectional exchange of laboratory information are one, LOINC for test orders, two, SNOMED for the results of those lab tests. And LOINC and SNOMED are actually complementary. The LOINC number describes the tests performed, and the SNOMED code encodes the results. And although we recognize LOINC and SNOMED as the standard vocabularies associated with laboratory messaging, in FLIP we've also discovered that they don't always meet all our needs, and it may be necessary to have what we call FLIP codes to support the needs, which we collect and then share with the standard organizations and then put on the FinVADs where everybody can have access to them. We also have local labs which may have their own alphanumeric codes, and these need to be mapped And so the FLIP project is seeking to address all of these issues related to vocabulary standards. Core data sets. Now, what do we mean by core data sets? I think the best way to describe it is that it's that minimum amount of data that those people participating in the FLIP project have agreed is absolutely necessary as a minimum to make important lab decisions. And everybody have agreed that they will be collected. And this ensures that all critical information is always captured in a very consistent manner. And the importance of that is really to help reduce the burden associated with collecting unnecessary data. If we appreciate that data is an important organizational resource, we want to make sure that our costs associated with collecting that data is kept at its minimum. And cost here refers to both time, money, and effort involved. And when those costs are not met, typically what happens is that data can be, we have poor data quality resulting from either incomplete data, inaccurate data, or data not being collected in a very timely fashion. Also, what we also need to address as we think about moving into electronic data exchange is the whole notion of identification standards. The importance of identification standards are one, to link individuals with specimens, two, to link individuals and specimens over time and over place and locations, and to improve data quality by reducing duplication of records. There are several issues associated with identification. You have to think about the universality of the identifier, and that is the scope, the jurisdiction over which the identifier will apply. The design of that identifier, and there are standards out there that speaks to design, ASTM standards. But you have to have a design that allows for every individual to be uniquely identified, or every entity under consideration to be uniquely identified within the jurisdiction being considered. The whole management, creation, assignment, validation, and the retirement of whatever identifier that has been used. And also to think very carefully about security, the ability of the identifier to be protected from fraud, abuse, unlawful use, and access. I'm not sure how well you can see this, but if you get everything right, this is supposed to be an example of what an HL7 message would look like. HL7 is the standard for moving data between applications. And HL7 is divided into segments, and each segment is divided into elements. And each segment of the HL7 message has a portion or component of the message in it. For example, the OBR segment is analogous to our lab request and will contain the LOIN code. And the OBX segment will contain the SNOMED code for the result. And even though participating organizations and labs agree on the message format, sometimes the precise version, we may not have agreement on it. And even when, assuming everybody adopts version 2 and everybody's compliant, does not necessarily mean that we have direct interoperability between applications, simply because version 2 messages contain optional fields. And this optionality provides a great deal of flexibility. So it becomes very necessary to have agreement among participating laboratories on what will obtain under these circumstances. As an organization thinks about moving to electronic lab data exchange, these are some of the things I think it should do as a self-check. There should be strong leadership commitment for the process. This FLIP project started in about 2006. We hope to have it done fairly shortly, certainly before the year ends. But my point being, it takes time. there are significant resources associated with it, not only funding. We've found that it's not always easy to acquire the expertise of lab and informatics that know both languages and can cross both domains. Institutional capacity becomes important. You should have good management structure and systems in place, because what you find is that things change, roles of individuals may change. It's important to have a good strategic plan, because sometimes you can have really high turnover of staff, so the strategic plans provide that roadmap and have you grounded. You should address some infrastructure issues such as networks and servers and security and so forth. This is a toolkit that APHL has brought together of the resources for any public health lab who's undertaking such a project. It's readily available and for everyone, anyone who needs it. And to summarize, I provided quite a bit of information, but you realize that everything is not everything. Quite a bit of details to still work out. Messaging and vocabulary, although they are standards, still may not meet all the needs. We need lots of expertise in many different areas. It takes time, so it's not a sprint. It's a more of a marathon kind of thing. There may be some technical limitations. Priorities change over time, and the infrastructure that supports this continues to evolve and change as we get more and more information. I'd like to thank everyone for being here and for your attention. If you have questions, these are people who have been very active and on the FLIP project and provided leadership and collaboration for it. And I think we'll be happy to receive any questions as well. If you need further information past what we have discussed here today. Thank you very much.